I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Okay, so there's something that I noticed a friend of mine going through, and I thought it was so profound that I wanted to talk about it, of course. I don't want to give too much away just because, you know, privacy and this and that and the other. A friend of mine is a recovering addict.
Okay.
Okay. And he's been sober for a long time. I think at least 5-6 years. A long time.
Okay.
And my experience with this person and the experience, this is an employee of mine. Okay. I won't say what part of my company. One of my favorite people, one of my absolute favorite employees. I mean, this person is the most honest, reliable, kind-hearted, and has been an employee of mine, I want to say, for 3 years now, for a while. So it's not like you just don't know yet. No, I know this person.
Okay.
And I mean, like, no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, just loyal, honest, trustworthy, and great at his job, right? So the holidays are coming up, and I'm like, hey, sweetheart, are you going home? And he's like, ugh. And we get in this conversation, and he kind of tells me how he gets depressed over the holidays and how he tries to avoid going home. And, you know, it's like he gets the job of, like, dealing with everything, taking care of everything. And his mom will say to him, like, if he doesn't call home because he gets, like, he doesn't like to call home. And she's like, are you loaded again? Are you, are you drunk again? We're worried about you. Are you high somewhere?
Oh, no.
And he hates going home. He hates being around it. And then, of course, the more he distances himself, the more they're like, you know, you just don't care about your family. Are you? Yeah. And the irony of the whole thing is that, of course, you know, we always say you create the thing you fear the most. So the more they chase him and the more they ask him those things, the more he withdraws and the more he pulls away. And the more he feels like he has to go home and he has to compensate for being this horrible son. And why I bring this up is because I thought, how is it possible that my perception of this human being is that he is the most rock solid, trustworthy, kind-hearted, talented guy, and Then with his family, it's like, are you getting loaded again? Ugh. You know, what are you up to now? And what do you, you know, what are you doing now? And you're so, it's like, and how he takes that on and how it makes him believe it and the ways that he tries to compensate for it are heartbreaking to me. And I wanted to say to you, you're not what other people tell you you are. And I realized and tried to explain to him that this was about the family dynamic. This was about things that were going on inside of his parents.
Right.
This was not who he is in the world or how the rest of the world perceives him. But it's so amazing how you can get labeled something in a dynamic, a family dynamic or a long-term relationship that is often a reflection or a historical repetition of a family dynamic, and you can believe it and think that it's about you. Oh, I was such a disappointment to my parents when it was like your father was disappointed because he didn't fulfill certain things in his life, but then was like, why didn't you make all A's? Why didn't you get on the varsity team? Why didn't you? And it's like, oh, I'm such a disappointment.
Yep. I have something to say about this.
Oh, good.
That for the family, like in recovery, a lot of times is the family doesn't know how to deal with the new version of the person.
Ooh, okay.
So they're very attached to the addict, right? They only know how to relate to the addict. So if someone is kind of like saying, hey, I'm on a new path, they don't know what to say.
Really?
And a lot of times,
why are they just supportive?
Because it just, I think deep down they want to be, but they don't know. They just don't know how to deal. And sometimes both parties are attached to the old person because it's familiar, right? But the person, for the addict or the alcoholic or whoever, they're used to being the person who brings the, you know, storm into the house. So they don't know. It's just the norm. It's the normal.
I feel like even though there is a dynamic that I have with somebody, and I'm always the bad guy. I'm always kind of like, there's these subtle passive aggressive comments. And, you know, it comes from this historical thing I have about my dad and not wanting to be like my dad. And yet my friends are like, Jill, you're not a monster. You're not this person. This is not, because I'm always like, I don't have enough patience. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm too selfish. I'm too this. I'm too that. You know, like I was talking to my shrink and I don't want, Lou's not sleeping at all. And I don't want a family bed. I don't. Mm-hmm. I do not want a family bed. And, you know, honestly, I love my children. As you know, they are the light of my life. But I also feel very strongly that in order to maintain personal happiness, I need to still be Jillian as well, not just the mom for Phoenix and Lukenzia. And, you know, Jillian has things Jillian likes to do. Jillian has work that she likes to do. Jillian has friends she likes to see. Jillian has a relationship with Heidi. Jillian wants to still be Jillian as well. And I, you know, the day is a long day. And when the kids go to bed at 7:30, that's like time for Heidi and I to actually have our first conversation of the day. Because you cannot have a conversation with two toddlers in the house. Don't even bother trying. It's impossible. Mommy, 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 mommy. Forget it. It won't happen.
Right.
It's like where we can have our first conversation, where we can actually sit down and have a sit and eat a meal. Because you can't do that either with kids. And, you know, relax, watch a show, or, you know, just kind of have like that decompression time. And then, you know, Heidi will fall asleep really early because she's exhausted. And then I'll like stay up and I'll read a book or I'll watch the show that only I watch. And then I have some sort of alone time for me. And then, you know, that's kind of like, and our room is our room. And it's just, even when we're sleeping, it's our room. It's like the only time that Heidi and I get to be a couple and not parents, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. I don't want a family bed. And every single night, my daughter comes downstairs because she's just going through, you know, whatever kids go through. And it's like, you know, and I talked to my therapist about it and he's like, it's, you know, It's her anxiety and her anger over separation. And I was like, I don't. Am I just the worst person in the world? Am I this horrible, selfish beast? Am I an animal? Am I a monster? Am I damaging her? Because I talk to her and I take her back up to her room and I'm like, baby, and you know, we look under the bed, we go through all the, I'm like, baby, we gotta go to bed. It's late. Everybody's tired, you know. And my friends are like, you're not an abusive monster. And I realized, dude, this is because of my family dynamic that I think I am. And my therapist was like, Jillian, you don't, not only should you, she's turning 5 soon. Like, you don't need to be merged with her. You shouldn't be merged with her. She should learn to be autonomous and learn to self-soothe. And you just, you know, you support her through the process and you take her back upstairs and you give her a kiss and you look under the covers and you tell her everything's okay and you put her back to bed. And the interesting thing is that's who I think I am.
Well, sure, because as you just said, your family dynamic, right. But it's been reiterated throughout your career.
Which has been really hard for me, which is why it's been so hard for me. And the irony is that with Loser, it was like there were various people throughout the years that would say and do what they thought people would love them for doing. Oh, you're such a nice guy. But like, or person or girl or whoever. But it wasn't actually what the person needed that you'd be working with.
Sure.
And it was like, it doesn't matter. The point that I'm trying to make is I think very often we take on this identity that is given to us in our childhood and we repeat it. And it's like, no, I'm this bad person. No, I'm constantly battling against this selfish monster inside of me, this greedy narcissist, this impatient, you know. And my friends, you know, my therapists are like, this is not real. Like, you're human. Of course you are. You have your flaws. You have your imperfections. You make your mistakes just like the rest of us. But this is not who you are.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for my employee. I was like, this is not who you are. This is my experience of you. And this is your coworker's experience of you. And, you know, this is not who you are, sweetheart. And I think this is really at the root of self-loathing. This is where self-loathing begins. My mom talked about it. Shame over these things. And so I really wanted to challenge everybody listening to stop at some point this week and say, all right, what are these deep, dark feelings that I have about myself? That I'm greedy or I'm selfish or I'm, you know, cruel or I'm impatient or whatever. And is that really true? And to get some perspective, ask some of your friends. Get some feedback.
You know what, Jillian? I get asked for the, but if it's a real strong belief of your inside you, do you really think that what somebody else says is going to make any difference?
In time.
Okay.
It'll give you some perspective. What I think will make a difference is if when you identify the origin of this attitude or this thought or this idea, because then you go, wait a minute, this comes from, you know, my father's issue with X, Y, and Z. This wasn't about me to begin with. Or this comes from my mother's issue with this, this, and this. Like my business partner, his mother always saw him as her father. And he always felt like he was fighting against, like, you know, you're not a good enough son. You abandoned me. Like, if he got married, he abandoned her.
Just like her own father.
Abandoned her.
Gotcha.
You got it.
Wow.
But when he was able to understand, wait a second, this is what her reality is.
Yeah.
This is not who I really am. That helped him not feel guilty and be like, Mom, I love you. But this is the way I got to live my life. And it helped him stand stand his ground. And when you get the origin of this, you're able to go, wow, this was not actually about me. This was about this, and I've taken this on. And when other people have said to me, like my therapist or my friends, no, Jill, you're not this person, or, you know, you could have said this differently, or you could have done that differently, or you misunderstood this issue. I have the self-worth to go, oh, okay, I did handle that bad, but let me wrong. I did handle that wrong. But now that I know, let me reapproach it and try to handle it differently. But it does give you some perspective. So I think understanding the origin,
helps you realize that it wasn't about you. It was about somebody else's issues. And of course, you know, we pass this on, as my mom said, transgenerational trauma, I believe. And then that perspective of who you really are in the world. And this is how we gradually begin. And then acknowledging the good things that people say about you and the accomplishments that you have. This is how we gradually begin to rebuild self-esteem. This is how that employee of mine is like, I guess I'm not this screw up, this, whatever. You know, I am this. I did do this and this and this and this. Taking note of and ownership of your accomplishments and your good deeds is how we, over time, begin to rebuild.
Ugh. So hard.
It is hard, but you got nothing but time to work on it, and it doesn't get any better.
I suppose.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you got nothing. When that stuff, it's like people are like, ugh, but it's going to be awful. It's like, well, it already is awful. It already is awful.
Yeah.
It can only get better. It's awful to feel that way. So it can only get, you know, you're still going to feel awful, but at least there's a light at the end of this tunnel.
Well, I don't know. I'm 55. I'm 55, and I still have the bathroom thing. Still there every time.
The bathroom thing?
The public bathroom thing.
Oh, the public bathroom.
Still there. Every public bathroom. I put my head down because I'm waiting for somebody to say, excuse me, shouldn't you be in the bathroom with the pants?
Just pull your boobs out and then walk in.
If I had boobs, I'd pull them out. But it's so, like the airport this morning, going in there, put my head down. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here.
Stop.
Can you believe it? No, but stupid. But that's why I get your employee.
That's your stuff, though, from your dad with the, how about this haircut? Yeah, how about that haircut?
But yeah. I mean, but look how old, like, that's a long, it's a long
ass.
But
look where it comes from.
Yeah. Anyways, I completely, and what I would suggest for your employee.
Yes.
Is just keep doing the right thing and just keep being the wonderful, recovered person.
And set boundaries with your family. That's what I told him. Say,
for
you
sure.
know what? Here's, this is why I don't call, because you make me feel like this.
Yeah. Bingo.
Set boundaries.
Yep.
All right.
Well, all right. I'm going to go to the I can go to the bathroom right now. See what happens.
The men's room. To the runners, the lifters, the weekend warriors, the triathletes, sore muscles and occasional injuries are a fact of life. If you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, get Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. I love these things, actually. I've become addicted to them. You've never experienced anything like this before, okay? It's cold therapy you use while you're still active. So while you're running, biking, lifting, and you keep your joints and your muscles wrapped up and cool. So it manages inflammation. It's fantastic. They stay in place while they give you recovery benefits to ice therapy. The surprising thing, there is no freezer needed. They're sleek. They fit comfortably. There's no bulky ice. They are reusable, clinically tested, and proven effective. So just put Arctic Ease on, and you've instantly targeted cold and compression therapy where you need it the most, before, during, and after exercise. So don't put your training on ice. You know Autumn wrote that one. Don't put your training on ice. It's okay. It's a good one, Autumn. Get reusable Arctic Ease cold wraps at a pharmacy near you and get instant cooling relief when and where you need it, or just go to arcticease.com. So many of you guys out there have lost a ton of weight or thrive on being physically fit, not just for yourself, but you love sharing that fun and knowledge and passion for health with other people. You've talked about getting certified. You ask me questions all the time. How do I get certified? It's simple. You just go to myusatrainer.com and get certified through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. The business is booming. The demand for trainers is soaring. You can find a career that fulfills you, that's rewarding, that brings meaning into your life, get paid to stay in shape and help others at the same time, make your own hours, pick a workout environment that you enjoy, work out with athletes, help soccer moms lose baby weight, get involved in corporate wellness, whatever you're passionate about, whatever is meaningful to you. You can get started right now by going to MyUSAtrainer.com for a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast and fun online program. And if you don't land a job as a personal trainer within 60 days of certification, they will give you your money back guaranteed. That's MyUSAtrainer.com. Restrictions apply, so just go to MyUSAtrainer.com for details.
I have to admit something. You know how I like to think that I'm all like Betty Bitchin' and, you know, like...
You do?
Yeah.
You think you're Betty Bitchin'?
Totally.
You don't know that you're not? Even just saying Betty Bitchin' makes you not Betty Bitchin'.
No, not my Betty Bitchin'. But, like I think I'm like... I think I'm like...
Janice is talking, by the way, because I'm eating. That's why I'm...
That's why, exactly.
Talk. Go on.
Exactly. The only reason I'm talking. No, okay, this is the incident. I got a call the other day at home, and it was my friend. She says, Janice, she goes, what are you doing? I said, I said, what's going on? Because
you said, whenever they say, what are you doing? You say, I'm extremely busy.
Well,
I'm extremely busy.
She says, can you go to my house? And I said, and her house is like, I don't know, 40 minutes away. I said, okay. She goes, my mom's colostomy bag has fallen or something, and the nurse, isn't gonna something about the and I then my first thing was like, where's the nurse? Because she has a nurse come in to help her mom.
Smart.
And I just said when she's at work, and I just said I said where's the nurse? And she goes, well, the blah 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 blah. And I just said I'm not. I just panicked. And I just said, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to tape it down. I don't know what to do. I don't know.
How
I
would
said,
you?
I just said, I don't think I can do it. And I said, and she goes, well, I got to find somebody that can do it. And she kind of, and I granted, she's got to go. And I just felt like such a gigantic turd.
Why?
Because someone's asking you for help and you say, I don't think I can do it. So I called back and I said, I will go. I'm going right now.
You didn't.
Well, oh, and then she said, sorry. No, I found the nurse. And I went.
No, I thought you were going to actually show some improvement.
Well, but what would you do? Like, it's like saying to me, it's like I took care of my mom, but and I had to do things with my mom that I never thought I would be able to do, you know, like shots and things like that. I just was like so beyond what I thought I was capable of doing. But I panicked and I was so disappointed in myself because I panicked and out of fear and just said, and then I was going to go do it still full of panic.
I'm disappointed that you were going to go do it because you didn't
really?
You didn't hold your boundary.
But Chili, when someone says, hey, can you help me?
Okay, A, how close of a friend is this?
She's my friend, and I know her, and I know her mom. I know her mom.
Best friend? Good friend?
Good friend.
Okay.
It's like, and what?
Wait, you know her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Is it technical, this colostomy bag thing?
It was a taping of it or something.
Buddy, here's what I would have said. I would have been like, listen, friend, I'm extremely intimidated by this. I don't understand it. It's medical. It intimidates me. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. You know, it's extremely intimate. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know your mom. You know, can you make me your absolute last call, please? Period.
You would be able to say that.
In a heartbeat. If it was something that really bothered me. So, like, the colostomy bag, I mean, I don't know what that entails. But, like, if my friend Andy called me and her mother has passed away, but hypothetically, if Andy was like, Jill, I need you to go and put a syringe in my mom or something. Like, I hate needles and I hate blood. And I'd be like, oh, babe, no, I can't do it. I'd be like, I need to be your last call. I will pass out. Really, I'm the worst
person
for this.
See, why does it sound good coming from you, but for me, it makes me sound like just a complete sack of...
Because you're acting as though you're selfish or a bad person for not wanting to help instead of saying, like, this is scary to me, it's uncomfortable, it's, you know, if you're absolutely in dire straits, but if anybody else can do it, can you make the call?
Oh, you know, wow, I never thought about saying it that way.
It's boundaries, dude. You don't have any boundaries. You have no self-worth. It's the same reason you pay for friends, which, again, I still haven't gotten my check.
No,
anyone?
Right. I actually brought my checkbook today.
I haven't had to put in any personal time either, so I can't really complain. It's not like I've rendered services. So I guess that's fine.
No, I don't know. I was shocked by myself in being so filled. I think it's because that is a procedure. If you screw up with that, that person can be in quite a lot of trouble.
Well, then, dude, you know what I mean? I would never go do it then. Never. I'd be like, buddy, this is way too hardcore for me.
But even if
it was like screwing a tube onto another tube, okay.
No, but I don't even think. I think it was just basically making sure it was taped down. But what I was concerned about was if it wasn't taped down and it fell off, and I thought, good God, I would have to be calling.
You just say I'm not qualified for this. I love you. You're one of my closest friends, but I'm not the right girl for this one. Call me when you need a ride to the airport. Dude, you know, you can't be everything to everybody. And that doesn't mean that you don't have value. I really thought you were going to make progress here. I really thought this segment was going to be like, I said no, I held my ground.
I did, and then I called back and let my ground go. Because I felt, when someone's in need and panic, I would think that I would come running to help somebody.
It's not about that, though, Janice. It's like you can't be everything to everybody. You know, it's like you just can't be the solution for everything. You can't. It's not appropriate. And it's not necessary. And if I called a friend, which I probably would not call Andy and be like, hey, can you go change my parents' colostomy bag? Which neither one of my parents have a colostomy bag. But, like, hypothetically, I probably would never make that call. I might call Heidi to do it, but, you know, I probably would not do that. I would leave work and be like, I need to leave work and go deal with this. It's my mom.
Right.
I mean, you could also hire a professional, I'm sure.
No, and there was. And I think something happened between the nurse time where it kind of felt it was slipping off, and I guess the mom called in a panic and...
But dude, also, like, if one of my good friends was like, Jill, honey, I'm out of clients, or, you know, sweetheart, this is beyond the scope of my ability, I would be like, I get it. Okay, sweetie, I'm going to jump. I'm going to see, you know, I'm going to try to find someone to do it.
Or take the comedic approach. Be like, girl, there are some things I cannot do.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah. Use your comedy as a buffer.
Yeah, but at that point, it's not a funny situation. I mean, at that point, she was panicked. And it's just like, hey, what happened to Jake? Hey, what did Helen Keller say? You know what I mean? You can't.
You can.
No.
Well, I wouldn't lead with the Helen Keller joke, but...
Okay, like for example, my poor mom, this was... Like, we just had put this cat down, right? And I'm trying to clear out the cat stuff so she doesn't have to, like, open the pantry, see the cat stuff, go into the bathroom, see the cat stuff. So I open the pantry, and I mean, there are 50 cans of cat food and 10 bags of cat treats and 4 bags of cat litter. And I go, someone's been shopping at Costco. And my mom just burst into hysterical laughter. And she was crying, you know what I mean? So it's like, you can be like, you can bring a little humor to bring some levity and a pause and a calmer, saner mind. But sweetie, this is all about you feeling like your worth is tied up and having to be everybody's, you know, hero and...
Well, but when I call back, though, and, you know, we did have a laugh together. We did have a laugh together, and we did make it funny. But at that time.
So you really have you've evolved not one friggin' iota then. Over the whole course of this time we've been doing these podcasts and radio shows, you've had zero personal growth in this area is what you've revealed to me.
I believe. Wow, when you put it that way.
None.
In such a light, kind and loving way.
Right now, I'm just trying to think of a host of crap that I need done that I don't want to deal with. I'm going to call you. Hey, Janice, can you come muck some stalls? It's an emergency.
Now, I would muck the stalls. I've mucked stalls before.
Good. Now I'm going to... Oh. Hey, girl. Phoenix. Just thinking.
Or what about the diarrhea in the closet?
Sample.
The dog.
Yes.
Duke has diarrhea. Can you take him in your car to the vet, please?
See?
Yeah, this is perfect. See, we need to use these weaknesses to our advantage, guys. We've got to exploit this situation.
I don't know.
As long as it lasts, which seems like forever. Do you pay a therapist?
No, I haven't talked to her in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you don't need to call up and get your money back. Dear God. All right, well, that went nowhere.
Yeah.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Birchbox is the smartest way to shop for beauty products. Every month, you'll receive a box of 5 beauty samples that are tailored to fit the profile you fill out. Personalized and individualized to your personal beauty needs. You get to try products from niche brands, up-and-coming lines, and everything in between risk-free. You can discover all new products that are just right for you. And if you love them, you can purchase the full-size version of your favorites in Birchbox's online shop. The subscription is only $10 a month, and it ships for free every month. So head over to Birchbox.com. Just use the promo code JILLIAN to get 100 Birchbox points with the purchase of your subscription, which is equal to $10 towards any of your new favorite products. And just in time for the new year, Birchbox has teamed up with an all-star panel of nutrition, beauty, and wellness experts to bring you 31 ways to make 2015 your best year yet. Every day is packed with challenges and prizes. Follow Birchbox on Instagram or Twitter, and you can hashtag BirchboxChallenge.com to get in on the fun. To the runners, the lifters, the weekend warriors, the triathletes, sore muscles and occasional injuries are a fact of life. If you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, get Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. You've never experienced anything like this before, okay? It's cold therapy you use while you're still active. So while you're running, biking, lifting, and you keep your joints and your muscles wrapped up and cool. So it manages inflammation. It's fantastic. They stay in place while they give you recovery benefits to ice therapy. The surprising thing, there is no freezer needed. They're sleek, they fit comfortably, there's no bulky ice, they are reusable, clinically tested, and proven effective. So just put Arctic Ease on, and you've instantly targeted cold and compression therapy where you need it the most, before, during, and after exercise. So don't put your training on ice! Get reusable Arctic Ease cold wraps at a pharmacy near you to get cooling relief when and where you need it, or just visit ArcticEase.com.
It's time, Janice.
Oh, for...
It's been a while. Time has come.
Okay. Oops. Excuse me. For what?
The doc.
Oh, the doc. Yes, the love doctor hasn't been on. What is the love doctor going to talk about today?
Sex.
Oh, no.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know you get scared of the words.
I do, but here's the context. We need to stop coming up with reasons for why we can't have sex.
Amen.
Oh,
yeah.
Brother.
I'm serious. This is a huge problem in relationships. Really.
Is this...
You wouldn't know.
Well...
You're not having any sex. But...
Yeah, but... I remember.
But this happens. It happens. And in fact, I hate this word so much, but gay women have a name for this.
Yeah, LBD.
Lesbian bed death.
That's right.
Yeah, but straight people have this too.
And I've heard that from the straight folk.
Well, all my guy friends, it's like, she always has a reason why she can't have sex, and then women wonder why men have affairs. And the thing with men is I think this is a sweeping generalization, but no one really ever says to men, hey, it's okay to be emotional. It's okay to have feelings about this. It's okay to express your needs. Men always feel like, they have to meet everybody else's needs. So then they just go take care of themselves elsewhere, quietly,
you know, and they go have their little hookups and their flings and no one knows and what have you. But, you know, then they're like, well, she's always with the kids. She never has time for me. She never makes time for me. She's always got a reason why she can't have sex, this, that, the other. And of course they're going to feel this way. And I think there are a lot of different reasons this happens. And it's everything from, you know, women not feeling pretty or feeling so tired and run down or, you know, quite honestly, it's like sometimes it goes so long that it's hard to break the ice again. And if you're somebody who is constantly making these excuses, I think you need to stop and look at the damage that it might be doing to your relationship.
I think you're being a little one-sided here.
Oh, please go.
I think you're saying that the only ones who don't want, who are making excuses for sex are women. And I believe that there are men who also do not want to have sex and say, no, honey. Yes.
I've not met one ever.
Well, I believe there is. It's...
Really? Is Giancarlo already on a plane to Miami?
Yeah.
Ah. Jake?
Men always want to have sex.
I think they do.
Jake, no, but Jake's a hormone. He's a raging hormone. Look at him.
I am going through a part of my life, though, where it's like the casual sex has less meaning, and it kind of like doesn't do much for me anymore.
This isn't casual sex, you slut. This is about sex.
Oh, well, yeah. With
in
someone
relationships.
That, yeah, then all the time. Hell yeah.
See? No, I don't. I agree. I think that the... That men, it happens with men too.
Yeah, I think. No. Jill, I think you're being very one-sided.
With men, you could think you don't want to have sex, and the second you start to get aroused or someone does something for you, you're just like, oh, I do want to have sex. I didn't realize it, but
no,
the only
that's
time
not
I
true.
Found that men don't want to have sex is when they're having an affair.
Well,
who watches The Affair on Showtime? Anybody? Oh my God! It is the best show that nobody is watching, and it's—I think the reason is because it's excruciating to watch. And basically, it's, you know, this couple, and they got married when they were younger, and they had four kids, and they loved each other, but they just outgrew each other. And he starts having this—I won't spoiler it—but this affair, and it just destroys his marriage, that's when he stops sleeping with his wife. And she's like, you know, you don't touch me anymore, blah, blah, blah. But, well, here, I meant to address this, though.
Right.
Well, the whole idea was, look, I think women, like another friend of mine, after she was pregnant, her husband had made a couple comments about, like, you know, things to the effect of, like, when are you going to get back in shape? And she stopped feeling close to him. So she stopped sleeping with him. And, you know, then there are women who don't feel good about their bodies, who feel like, oh, I've put on some weight, or, you know, after, and even like when you're pregnant and you've just had the baby, you don't feel sexy. It does, you know, there are many different times as women that we don't feel, I'm guilty of this. When I'm like, oh, I feel bloated. I feel gross. I don't feel sexy right now. You know, and I think that that's a real go-to excuse for women.
I'm sorry.
What?
Sorry. I just while you were expressing how you were feeling things, I just couldn't stop thinking about your hand pillow in your bed with the aliens. I'm sorry. It just took me back to that conversation we had. Sorry.
This is a great... I'm trying to
go
help.
Go on.
No,
Jill.
Yeah, no,
go
you
on.
Go ahead. You go ahead, Julie.
I'm trying to help people.
No, I know you are, but it's just...
This is a good segment. This is a problem.
I think it is a problem. I do think this is a good segment.
It's a huge problem. I'm telling you. This is because you're not getting any.
No, I'm just saying. I think
it is. And the tired one. That's a huge one. Okay. And it's one that Heidi and I have both made. Because, dude, it's like you get to the... Because I'll have these moments where I think, okay, now's a good time, right? Where you're like, I've got the energy. I'm in the mood. But you got to get through putting the kids to bed. And then by the time you finally get the kids to bed, you're starving and you're exhausted.
Right.
And it's like, ugh, let's just do it tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? And it starts to become, and it's like you end up making all these excuses. And quite honestly, I'm stressed out. That's another huge one. I'm just so stressed out. I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm stressed out. And when you end up making these excuses, distance, time passes and distance grows and you fall out of touch and the intimacy really becomes hampered. And I think that we got to move past these We got to move past these excuses. We just do. And so it's like, you know, when it's like, oh, I'm too tired or I'm too hungry. So I was like, all right, we both have to snack at 5 so that we're not starving when the kids go to bed. And then we're like, ugh, I feel so full. And then we're passed out cold. So I'm like, what strategy can we come up with to circumvent this? And by the way, you know, you don't feel pretty, have sex with somebody, you're going to feel sexy again. It's almost like the thing you're putting off is the solution to the problem.
Well, it's the same as, I think, working out.
It is the
same
as working out.
Like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym. But you always feel so much better after.
And the same
as with sex.
You're absolutely right, Autumn.
It's like, oh, now my legs are hairy. Or I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
I don't have the energy. I'm so stressed out. I can't possibly focus on this right now.
All those good, you know, fins are released.
Yes. Yeah, Janice can't relate to this at all. Look at her.
No, I'm just.
I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that are relating to this right now.
No, I believe that.
I promise you.
Jake, I didn't mean to shut you down, but you're very young and you have a lot of a sex drive. So I think,
yeah, I mean, the wind blows for Jake.
Yeah, I know.
However, I do. See, here, now, I looked on Women's Day. Okay. Women's Day magazine, 8 reasons he doesn't want to have sex.
He's having an affair.
Male menopause.
Okay.
What?
Pornography.
What? That makes most men I know want to have sex, but okay.
No, they get into the boom chicka boom chicka, and then they don't want to. Low testosterone levels.
Okay.
Lack of kissing and hugging.
Okay.
An undiagnosed health condition.
Got it.
Allergies.
Okay.
The economy. Now, this is
stress.
True. A lot of men. They don't want to have the sexy. Excessive masturbation. Oh, dear. I don't think I've ever said that word out loud on the podcast.
I'm sure you have.
That seems like an easy fix, though. Just stop yanking it.
Yeah, but I don't think that's always so... I don't think... Can you just stop?
Well, but yeah, you wait if you know you're getting it later.
Yeah, if you have a significant other, like if you're single, like sure, why would you stop? But if you have a significant other, it's like you got the real thing right in front of you. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
No, I understand the whole thing. I do.
The point we're trying to make is exactly what Autumn said. It's like you come up with all these excuses to go to the gym, but then you go to the gym and you feel so much better. And the consequence of not going to the gym is gradually decreasing health and a vicious cycle of feeling bad, feeling exhausted, feeling bad about yourself, and getting down on yourself. But then you go to the gym and you start to lift yourself out of it. Well, sex is the same way. It's like the less sex you have, you know, the more disconnected you become, the more you grow apart from your partner, the less attractive you begin to feel because you're not feeling like a desirable object. So this is about stop making excuses. You're going to feel sexier when it's done. You're going to feel closer to your partner when it's done, like it's a to-do list.
Just do it.
Just
do
it.
Done.
Get it done. You're going to feel so much better, and things are going to be so much better.
Well, and I think this ties back to the segment about sleeping naked.
Oh. Are you going to bring up my pillow again?
Well, no, I wasn't going to bring up the pillow, but just, you know, do things.
Since we're on the topic. Sorry, Autumn.
Doing things that help encourage a sexual atmosphere in bed.
She's right.
If you're already naked,
yeah,
roll over. Yeah. Little skin touch.
Yeah,
there you go.
You got a couple of kids though in that household, and you ain't playing that game.
Lock the door.
I'm up. Ta-da!
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.